Now, less than a week out from the final day of the midterm election, we're going to take a home stretch look at where things stand and what could shift the balance in closely contested Wisconsin races. You can join in at 800-642-1234. As a voter, have you already voted? Are you planning to vote on election day itself? What's the experience been like if you've already voted? What are you watching for? Is there a race you're focusing on in the state? What questions do you have for our guest about the races for governor and U.S. Senate? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Craig Gilbert is a Lubar Fellow at Marquette University Law School. He was previously the Washington Bureau Chief and National Reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and has covered every presidential campaign since 1988. Craig, welcome back to Central Time.
It's great to be with you.
Well, something we've talked about here recently on Central Time, advertising in this race. I think the race for governor just hit record levels of spending. Does all that money, do you think, really make a difference?
Well, it can make a difference under certain circumstances. I mean, the classic situation is when one side heavily outspends another. It can make a difference. It can also make a difference when two sides are trying to define a challenger who's not well-known or a lot less well-known than the incumbent. It's easier to kind of affect public perceptions of a candidate who's less well-known than one who's already kind of firmly established in the public eye. So those are kind of two cases, but often it's the returns are really marginal. I mean, there's nothing more inefficient probably than campaign spending or campaign ad spending. Everybody does it because they get something out of it. And they're also worried if they don't do it, then the other side is going to have the airwaves to themselves. But it's not a lot of bang for the buck. Generally, it's not the most impactful thing in a campaign.
Well, those dollars might only sway a few voters, but only a few voters might make a difference. We're seeing the latest polling, including the Marquette Law School poll out yesterday, basically either tied or well within margin of error in both of our big statewide races for governor and U.S. senator. What are your takeaways of the latest polling there?
So it's really striking, there's been a lot of discussion about the polling and whether the polls are accurate or not. We do have a recent history of the polls undercounting or understating Republican support in the last two presidential races, not so much in the last midterm. So that question is out there. But if you view both of these races as very, very close races, it's kind of an unprecedented situation in Wisconsin. We've had close presidential races. In fact, we've had four presidential races out of the last six have been decided by less than a point. But there's very little history of ultra-thin races for governor and ultra-thin races for Senate. And to have two of them on the same ballot is something we really haven't seen before, certainly haven't seen it in decades. So that, I think, is what stands out to me about this circumstance. And we can talk about the forces, we can talk about why that is, but we're certainly in a world, living in a world where in an evenly divided state like Wisconsin, there's not very much play in the electorate. Both sides are kind of, have their 47% that they can count on and they're battling over the rest. And so, we don't see the, generally don't see the 10 and 15 and 20 point margins you used to see in politics. And we see that we've seen from the start in these races that the movements, there are movements, but they're very small.
Comparing to like a 2018 where you had Governor Evers pulling it out by, or wasn't governor yet, but he won the race by about 1%. And then you had his Democratic colleague, Senator Tammy Baldwin, winning re-election, walking away, like a huge spread between those elections in Wisconsin terms. What happened there? Why don't you see it happening this time around with that spread?
Yeah, that was really kind of a special case in a couple of respects. I mean, for one, the governor's race was the closest governor's race in many decades. And on the other hand, you had, an 11-point difference or 10-point difference between Tony Evers' one-point victory for governor, one-point Democratic victory, and Tammy Baldwin's 11-point Democratic victory for the U.S. Senate. And I think that was a combination of Tammy Baldwin being an effective candidate, certainly someone who spent a lot of time traveling around the state. I think she was very effective in kind of running on Wisconsin issues, running on local issues, running on things like dairy and Buy American. And she also had an opponent, Leah Vukmir, who had not run for statewide office before, who didn't have the same level of funding and organization and experience. So in kind of modern terms, it was kind of a one-sided campaign, and it produced a really this odd circumstance of a double-digit victory in kind of a 50-50 state. And I think what we're seeing in this cycle is, you know, tons of money and effort being poured in on both sides in both races. You know, obviously both sides are running real campaigns. And so, you know, we're left with, you know, the campaigns are kind of reverting or exposing what is, are these very even political divisions in the state. And this is kind of our state. It's a 51-49 state or a 50-50 state. And you don't have such, you don't have big advantages being brought to bear by either side that would open up these races beyond that.
Talking to Craig Gilbert, a longtime watcher of Wisconsin politics. It is a check-in before the midterms, which wrap up next week. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Whatever you watch, wherever you go, do you see lots of ads? Are you getting texts? Are ads showing up in your mail? You tired of them? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Craig, in a recent piece, you wrote about some questions that these elections might answer. One is turnout. Now, the stereotype is presidential years, you get big turnout, midterms, not so much. What's been happening lately in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so back in 2014, the turnout was 55% of voting age adults, and that was the highest turnout in decades. In 2018, it shot up to almost 60%, which was the highest turnout going all the way back to the Second World War, and maybe earlier for all I know, but our records only go back, my records only went back, go back to the late 40s. So it was only about 6 or 7 points smaller than the presidential turnout of 2016. So, you know, whereas in the past you'd have like a, you know, a 20-point difference between presidential turnout and midterm turnout, now you're talking about a 5 or, you know, a 10 or 8 point difference. Midterm turnout's looking more like presidential turnouts. And so the question, you know, we're left with this cycle is, are we going to get, I mean, it's a high bar to match 2018. That was a crazy turnout. It was a crazy turnout year nationally. And Wisconsin had the second highest turnout in the country in 2018 because it's a high turnout state and there was a lot at stake. And there's a huge amount at stake in this cycle. Wisconsin's one of a dwindling number of true battlegrounds. So it's getting a lot of national effort and attention. And you've got these two big close consequential races on the ballot. So the ingredients seem to be there for a really big turnout. We don't know what that means exactly for the outcome of these races, because higher turnout could mean, you know, higher Democratic turnout and normal Republican turnout. It could mean the opposite. It could mean that both sides are kind of maximizing on turnout. And what's going to decide these races is not so much which side is turning out more voters, but how a kind of shrinking slice of independent voters are voting.
You are also watching the gender gap in votes. What are you looking for?
Yeah, what I think some people are missing about the gender gap is that, you know, particularly in the wake of the Dobbs decision overturning, the Supreme Court overturning a right to an abortion, overturning the Roe v. Wade decision, there's been a lot of focus on how that's affecting female voters. But what we've seen in Wisconsin in recent years really is as the state has shifted from being, you know, a modest Democratic advantage in party identity to being a very marginal Republican advantage, that shift has occurred because of a shift among men toward the Republican Party. So, you know, the gender gap can be a problem for either party. It can be a problem for the Republican Party when they lose ground with women, and it can be a problem for the Democratic Party when they lose ground with men. Right now, I mean, if anything, I think it's a bigger problem for the Democratic Party, or has become as big or a bigger problem for the Democratic Party, because they've lost ground with male voters, particularly kind of white non-college male voters. And so, you know, what that bears watching in this cycle is again in these races, whether the Democratic deficit among men is bigger or smaller than the Republican deficit among women.
We're talking to Craig Gilbert, former Washington Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, now a fellow at Marquette University's Law School, with us Taking a look at the home stretch in the midterm elections here in Wisconsin, you can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have for our guest? What are you watching for? What do you think is going to swing the election one way or another? Call in at 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our talk with Craig Gilbert, longtime national reporter, former Washington bureau chief at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, now a Lubar fellow at Marquette University Law School, doing a final preview of the midterm election in Wisconsin. Early voting underway now. Final election day coming up Tuesday. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Steve is with us in Madison. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, hi. How's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what did you want to ask about, Steve?
Well, what I've been wondering about is, you know, I heard your caller or your guest touch on the abortion issue, but there's always been sort of this idea in politics that there's this third rail of politics that politicians never want to touch, and that's Social Security and Medicare. And I'm wondering, does your guest see that as playing a role in the election that we're coming up here?
Or gotcha, Gary. You're breaking up a little bit. But Craig, yeah, we had the head of the Republican Senatorial Reelection Committee saying, let's not get rid of Social Security or Medicare, but put it on the table, reevaluate it every few years, see if we need to make changes. Democrats have tried to make an issue of that. Is that something you think will be an issue?
Yeah, we've also had, you know, Republican Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin make comments about Social Security related to that. So it's an interesting question, and it's also been, you know, part of the kind of internal or maybe external debate about Democratic messaging. You know, Democrats are obviously facing some headwinds as the party in power in a midterm election with the economy performing the way it is. Joe Biden's numbers in kind of negative territory. And so you've got Democrats kind of arguing, I think, about whether they're how effective their own messaging has been. And one of those arguments I've heard is that, you know, people questioning whether the Democrats should be placing more emphasis or should have been placing more emphasis on that particular set of issues in going after Republicans. You know, it's a good question. I mean, it is, as the caller pointed out, you know, it is something that comes, you know, discussing changes to Social Security and Medicare comes with huge political risks. And I think you've seen kind of Democrats trying to weigh, you know, what they think this campaign should be about, to what degree it should be about abortion, to what degree it should be about Donald Trump and the threat they believe Republicans pose to the election system, to what degree it should be kind of the Democratic response on the economy, and to what degree it should be this issue, which is, you know, basically, you know, debating which party is going to protect Social Security and Medicare. So, you know, I'm always hesitant to sort of second guess campaigns because I'm not kind of sitting where they're sitting. I think it'll be an interesting postmortem question, depending on the outcome of these races, as to whether, you know, it would have been smart politically to place more emphasis on this issue. You are hearing Democrats hit that issue harder in the closing weeks of the campaign.
Thanks for that call, Steve. Nate joins us now in Milwaukee. Nate, hello.
Hi, thank you for having me. I early voted. One of the things I think about, and I think other voters should do, is who do they think will be best for the state 6 months after the election when all the ads, good or bad, are long gone? And one of the things that ads were potentially effective is hitting Mandela Barnes if the bail system that he supported was in place, the person who sadly killed a bunch of people in Waukesha would have actually been in jail because it would have been the risk to the community, and yet he was criticized for that. Looking at the governor's debate, which I already voted on, I think that Tony Evers both addressed the idea of helping local governments, which are facing problems now and will be in the future. And I'm worried that if Tim Michaels got elected, the rainy day fund would be gone and local governments would not be helped as much as they would be under Governor Evers, because the math that he did throw out during the debate doesn't add up with the budget.
Nate, thanks for the call. Craig, what do you think?
Well, you know, when you talk about the consequences of these elections, it's hard to even know where to start. I mean, it would be hard to envision a set of statewide elections that are, you know, in a midterm that are more consequential than these two. I mean, if you think about it on the Senate race side, the Senate is 50-50. So literally, you know, Wisconsin's Senate seat could be the difference between one party controlling the Senate and the other party controlling the Senate, which of course has massive implications when it comes to certainly the next 2 years of the Biden presidency and his, you know, ability to implement an agenda, get his nominations confirmed. It's and also setting up, you know, what it means for control of the Senate, you know, 2 years later and 2 years after that. And on the state side, you know, you have, you know, this certainty that Republicans will have a large majority in the legislature. So the difference between, you know, the divided government that we have today and having full Republican control of the government in Wisconsin is pretty profound. Whether you're a Democrat or Republican, it's a pretty profound difference, and also has national implications because Wisconsin is one of a handful of states that may determine the presidency in 2 years. And the outcome of this race for governor will have a big effect on the conduct, the rules, the administration of the election in 2024, and whether that election is disputed or not after it takes place. So it's just, I mean, we talk about the importance of every election, but and this may be another reason why we do see a robust turnout in 2022, is that you couldn't really draw up a set of elections with more profound consequences, I think, for a state than these two.
Thanks for that call. That a quote from a Republican candidate, Tim Michaels, for governor got a lot of attention this week. In the midst of a campaign talk, he said, "Republicans will never lose another election in Wisconsin after I'm elected governor." A campaign spokesperson said later he was referring to the policies are going to be so good, Republicans won't lose. People worried about the future of elections are worried that, you know, that was a statement that he would make changes in the election system. How much is at stake in how we run elections in the state if Republicans then had that control of the legislature, very likely, and the governor's office?
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot could be at stake. And sometimes, you know, you can overstate the importance of some of these issues, some of the election disputes that we've had in the state. There's been running battles over the election rules in Wisconsin, you know, for several decades. And sometimes the battles are over pretty, mm-hmm. You know, the small print of election administration. Sometimes they're over exactly how long is the early voting window going to be, exactly what are the rules, you know, for absentee mail ballots. It can get pretty detailed, and these things are all important. They're not all existential, but the big questions are when you talk about election changes that might, you know, really hold down the vote by making it harder for people to vote, and more important than anything, when you talk about, you know, what happens in the event of a disputed election, and if you talk about scenarios where there's the possibility, as we saw, you know, in 2020, when there was an attempt to decertify or overturn the election, I mean, that's existential. And so, you know, we don't know exactly whether there would be a repeat of that in 2024. That's certainly obviously what has some Democrats very alarmed when, you know, given all the rhetoric on the Republican side about disputing the 2020 election and promises that Republicans are making to some people in their political base about how they're going to handle elections in the future, that has put you know, that set of issues has raised the profile of those issues and you know, understandably made it a concern to a lot of voters.
Time for one more quick call from Gary in Greendale. Gary, hi.
Do you mean Glendale? Rob?
I guess so. I had Greendale, yeah. But I bet you're right. Glendale it is, Gary. Hi.
Okay. Thanks, Rob. Craig, one of the polls this week indicated that down the line, the favorability rating of Democratic candidates was much higher than those of the Trump Republican candidates. And my nephew disclosed this weekend, longtime Republican, he can't vote for Michaels. How much of an effect do you think will have people in Georgia who are longtime Republicans voting for Reverend Warnock rather than for Herschel Walker?
Oh, Gary, thanks. About half a minute for your thoughts.
Big question. We've seen, you know, obviously the fundamentals in this election in many ways are favorable to Republicans, but we've also seen issues surrounding some of the individual Republican candidates like Herschel Walker in Georgia and like Dr. Oz in Pennsylvania. So it sort of sets up this question as to whether their liabilities as candidates are enough to prevent them from winning otherwise winnable races for Republicans in what should be a good Republican year. So that's a big question nationally.
Gary, thanks for the call. And Craig, thanks for being with us.
Absolutely.
That's Craig Gilbert, longtime reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, now a Lubar Fellow at Marquette University Law School, with us for a look at the big questions about the elections here in Wisconsin.